Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
What is so funny about Frankenstein and Dracula? This is Systematic Geekology. We are the priest of the geeks. I am one of your geekologists, Kevin Schaefer, and I am here with my one of my favorite geekologists around this spooky season, Evan Garcia. Evan, how are you today?
I am doing fantastic today. Thanks, Kevin. Good to be here.
I love it. You've been bitten by a vampire recently?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here, not sucking my blood right now. So that's always a plus.
I haven't went out into the sun yet, so I'm not sure if I'm the kind that sparkles or not. So.
And I don't know. I mean, the sun's down, but I haven't turned into a werewolf yet. So we'll see what happens in this episode. But but yes. So for listeners out there, we are doing an episode from our drive-in Halloween edition. So this is a series where we've done the drive-in series for different categories before, and this is where we look at a specific movie as if we're in a drive-in theater and we're just coming out of it, and we just talk about the movie and our reactions to it. And since it's spooky season, my favorite time of the year, Halloween coming up, we are doing Halloween-oriented movies. And so today we have a very exciting pick, as we alluded to with the comedic edge in the opening, in the intro there, is we are doing Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, the June 1948 classic black and white film that features, in addition to the titular comedic duo, you have Frankenstein, you have Dracula, you have the Wolfman, all in this movie. So this is a really fun one to discuss. And if you want to find out more about this series as a whole, you can click on the show notes in the description, and that will give you a link to the whole series so you check out more of these episodes. Mm-hmm. And you can also check out our other drive-ins from previous years and earlier this year as well. So these ones are a lot of fun, and I'm really excited to get to this one today. So, Evan, before we get into kind of details about the movie, you want to tell us a little bit, because you actually just finished watching this.
Yeah.
Want to tell a little bit about what it's about, and we'll get into our reactions then.
Yeah, so like you said, this is a film from 1948. It's in the middle of the height of the Abbott and Costello fame, and they did a mashup like Scooby-Doo used to do, and they had, like you said, some of the classic monsters, and they included a lot of the original those actors that played them in that we're all familiar with. So that was pretty cool to see them back. But yeah, so this movie in 1948, and I forgot where it takes place, but they are working for a shipping company, and they are shipping this valuable crates, several crates, and the loaner of these crates and the location that they're supposed to send them to is kind of sketchy, and they send them to the house. They drop everything off, and then it turns out those crates held our favorite monsters, and then hilarity ensues from there.
Yeah, I love it. And it's a really great intro too, because at the beginning, they're baggage handlers. It's in Florida. But the man that calls them, it calls the station where they work at the very beginning, Larry Talbot. He's making a phone call, warning them about the shipment that's coming in. And we found out he's actually the Wolfman. And so it launches with just a great comedic intro. And like you said, this was at the height of the Abbott and Costello fame. They were an iconic comedic duo, Bud Abbott being sort of the straight man, Lou Costello being the very goofy slapstick, antithesis to Abbott's persona. And so that's why they mashed so well together. And this movie, it was directed by Charles Barton, written by Robert Lees, Frederick Rinaldo, and John Grant, produced by Robert Arthur, music by Frank Skinner. I loved the score here. He was at Frank Skinner actually composed a lot of those monster movies as well. That's why, we'll get into this as the DNA of how it merges the Abbott and Costello comedy with the classic monster universe. And so in addition to starring Abbott and Costello, it stars Lon Chaney Jr., Bela Lugosi, Glenn Strange, Lenore Albert, and Jane Randolph. I think is what I like most about this movie, is how it was the first of these comedy horror films in the Abbott and Costello universe. So they did other sequels to this after. A fun fact too is that the original title was The Brain of Frankenstein. And apparently both Abbott and Costello were very unhappy with the original script, and they were quite unenthusiastic throughout this project. It was really interesting because, again, like you said, they were, so iconic at the time, had made some of those successful movies, and, their duo was so synonymous, with just mainstream entertainment. And, it was really interesting that they were not a fan of this production. They said the director said they were hard to work with. And so it's actually kind of funny that it did turn into quite a success. And, it was well received by critics and audiences alike. And I say it was released in June 1948 because there is actually still debate about the actual release date. It was definitely in that month, but they have not been able, just different records have not been able to pin down the exact date that it had its theatrical premiere. Which I found really interesting too. I think that was the core aspect of this movie, is the merging of that classic horror monster universe and putting them with Abbott Costello. To me, it would be like if today Steve Martin and Martin Short were put in a movie with Freddy Krueger and Jason and Michael Myers, which now that I say that, I want to see that movie.
I totally want to see that.
But that's kind of how it started. And so
Only Murders at Camp.
yes. Hey, I hope Hulu is listening right now.
Yeah,
we need to make this happen. But yeah, I love it. Evan, what were some of your favorite parts of this movie? Out of the drive-in.
Yeah. So if I'm coming out of the drive-in, I need to go get a Slurpee first, because I like Slurpees after movies. And then I would just the Costello beats, man. His little it's just so classic, and just so much of the times, and to mix that with their kind of plot line of like trying to swap his brains and stuff. It kind of reminded me of the part in Monsters, Inc. where I captured Mike Wazowski and they were going to take his laughter out or something like that. And then,
yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Mike was just being kind of silly and stuff, but this was a fun time, and this was a bucket list movie for me, because I vividly remember going on my fifth grade field trip to Universal Studios, and the makeup show had a big poster with Abbott and Costello and all the monsters from this film, and I was like, oh, I want to see that. I got to see that movie. And I finally saw it today. So
that's really interesting, because this was also one I had not seen before. I mean, of course, I know about Abbott Costello, the classic. Yeah. And it's funny I hadn't too, because this movie in particular was a big influence on one of my absolute Halloween favorites, and that is The Monster Squad. Because that also, you know, it paired the classic monsters together. It was a horror comedy. Mm-hmm. I love that movie. And you know, this again references it a ton. It references this movie a ton, and it has that very much that aesthetic and that, you know, tone to it. So it's funny that I had never seen it before, but I am so glad I did, because it was a blast of time. And I think this is talk about a perfect drive-in theater movie. If I was coming out of a drive-in and seeing this for the first time, I think I would just have a blast doing it. You know, I mean, this was, it's just that it's got that old school campy aesthetic. I love, you know, black and white movies that, and like this, that combine several genres together. But it would just be so much fun to see, you know, with a crowd. And I think if I had a snack with me, this is got to be, I think, some classic candy here. So, you know, some M&Ms and a Coke and some popcorn. It's just all caps. All the classics here. Because this just kind of takes you back, and it is relentlessly delightful.
And the transfer on Tubi was super clear.
Yeah.
I was impressed because I'm used to seeing these films in their in their grainy state. But this was very nice, very clear.
Oh. It really does. It looks great, whether you're watching out there, you rent it on Prime or whatever. Yeah. I also got really good quality, so that was great. I wrote down some of my favorite exchanges here. First one is like Chick and Larry and Wilbur talking. Abbott and Costello's characters, respectively. So Chick says, "What's the matter?" And Larry says, "I know you'll think I'm crazy, but in a half an hour, the moon will rise and I'll turn into a wolf." And Wilbur says, "You and 20 million other guys."
There were so many great little one-liners, man.
Another one from Wilbur is, "Okay, you can have Sandra, but make sure to get you get plenty of bandages." and then also this one, granted, a little outdated. I'm not going to say that this isn't sexist and outdated, but this exchange here, I also, you know, I was just like, you know, part of it is the delivery of Costello's here, but this is another exchange between Chick and Wilbur, and Chick says, "You know the old saying, everything comes in threes. Now, suppose a third girl should fall in love with you. What's her name? Well, say her name is Mary. Is she pretty? Beautiful? Naturally, she'd have to be. Now, you have Mary, you have Joan, and you have Sandra. So, to prove to you that I'm your pal, your bosom friend, I'll take one of the girls off your hands. Chick, what I call you, a real pal. You take Mary."
All right.
And it's just, I can't do the delivery like they do, but it is just that perfect, like, synchronization of their styles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in with the dialogue. So there are plenty of moments like that. And also, I think, you know, the action and the horror elements, you know, it is really funny, but there are some great, you know, sequences too. I think one of my favorites is when they first encounter Dracula, coming out of, the case, and Abbott doesn't believe he's there because he keeps, you know, adding himself every time Abbott comes out. It's,
that was so good.
This is, you know, one of my things that I love about Edgar Wright so much is his attention to detail when it comes to visual comedy, because I think a lot of comedies today and, you know, in, I'd say, you know, a lot of American ones and in 21st century, they're so focused on just writing good jokes and stuff. And that is certainly important. But when you're making a comedy that is a movie, it has to be visual. And this is something that gets that very much. It has the slapstick there. And I really love Bela Lugosi's performance here, because all of the actors that played the classic monsters that were in this movie, they could have easily come in and done a paycheck performance, but they really commit themselves and they understand the tone of the movie and the physicality it requires and the physical and visual comedy. So I love that scene, you know, the way he keeps dodging Abbott, but he's there, you know, moving the candle and breaking out Wilbur. All of those nuances and the way that's played out, just from a choreography standpoint.
The one that got me, and I was like, why am I laughing? But it was so perfect. When Wilbur calls Frankenstein's monster Junior. So when a Junior is coming over, Wilbur puts his hand on his face to to block his face from seeing him. But then there's a little beat where he squishes his little pinky in to make sure that he will cover his entire face. And I just thought that was hilarious. It's just a little tiny little beat. It was perfect.
It was great. It's just those little moments like that that you are, because sometimes, yeah, you're watching, you know, like, okay, this is a comedy from the 40s. Is it going to be as funny today as now? And there's some moments that are just laugh out loud. And it, and again, and I think that's what made Abbott and Costello so iconic and why they're still referenced today, you know, is because, like I said, it was the straight man and the, you know, goofy juxtaposition that made them work so well together. And you see that in other comedic duos today, and you see it in character. I mean, I was, you know, I'm watching Peacemaker and watching the podcast that James Gunn hosts. You know, he talks about the characters in that show, which one's an Abbott and which one's a Costello when they enter the scene together. So like Harcourt is the Abbott. And then, you know, sometimes it's Ed O'Bio is the Costello.
Yeah.
And it's great. And that's, you know, that's where they're, you know, the foundation of their comedy has such a lasting legacy. And it's very apparent here. So I love all that. I love, yeah, I'm trying to think, do you have any other favorite moments? I have to, one of my other favorite moments that it's why, because you were finishing the movie right before we started recording.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, stay till the end, because one of my favorite moments
that was
Yes. So they do a cameo at the very end with the Invisible Man. And it just sets it up, because it's delivered also in a very comedic tone. But it's like this, you know, I think one of the most fascinating things about this era of the whole monster movies here is they were building their own cinematic universe long before that was even
universe,
a term.
Yeah.
Right. Like they had, I mean, they had this, you know, these were very popular characters in mainstream horror movies. And
And to elaborate on that point, the special effects, they were impressive for the time, like the whole lightning and that effect of the floating cigarette from the like Invisible Man.
Yeah,
I was impressed, because you could tell that they took the time to do the mats and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because I have seen plenty of cheesy sci-fi and horror movies from like 40s and 50s. I love them. But there, I mean, it's laughable watching some of them, because you can see the strings like on people when they're supposed to be flying, and, you know, all these effects that look absolutely terrible. Yeah, absolutely. This one is really quite good, and it holds up, and, you know, it sells it. You know, there's some good action sequences. There's just the aesthetic of the castle here, the costumes, like all of those. Like you said, it's really dedication, and it holds up well, you know, decades later. I love it. And out of the monsters in this movie specifically, do you have a favorite? Because obviously we love all Abbott and Costello, but out of Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, do you have a favorite? Or Sandra too, like any of the other characters, do you have a favorite
from this film?
I
would say Dracula, because he had he was the most, he was like, he was one of the characters. He was a part of the cast also. So he led the most, him and, what was her name?
Sandra.
Susan?
Sandra.
Yeah. That whole thing that he had with her.
No, absolutely. Dracula will always be my favorite, but I really love the Wolfman in this movie. And it had to, and this is another, you know, I looking at movies that this certainly had an influence on years later. One of my all-time favorites, all-time Halloween favorites, I watch it every year, all-time favorite horror comedies, is An American Werewolf in London.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. And I can see a lot of the DNA of that movie here. And particularly with the Wolfman story and the comedic element. But again, I just love how it opens with him calling, and that's when he transforms into, you know, he's trying to send the warning about the package going, and then you find out, oh, this is the Wolfman, and, you know, he's like, I'm gonna, you know, and what
can
they
do. Stop?
Yes.
Can you stop growling over the phone?
Oh, that was awesome. That was just it was. And I love too when you have this all this absurdity going on, but the actors take it so seriously and their characters are, and that's what makes it even funnier. So in all of those interactions between Costello and the Wolfman, and, you know, there's this self-seriousness that makes it even more charming and hilarious.
Yeah.
So I love all that. Like, do you have any other either favorite scenes, favorite moments?
Yeah. The I forgot what part, but he calls, they split up to find a way out, to find the way out to the castle, and Wilbur, he finds that the dock towards the water, and then he just calls it a broom closet.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that was great.
Just that, like, cold timey, like, oh no. And then they keep going through the room, and then they come across one of those turntable walls, and then they play with Frankenstein and Dracula chasing them, and they are spinning around kind of like a carousel. They are just missing each other. So classic fun times that I could see was, like, super funny back then. Like,
oh yes,
I'm sure they were loving that part, but to me was like, oh, that's just classic.
And that was the thing about watching this movie. It was like, oh, I really wanted to go back into a theater in the 40s and just see the live audience reaction here.
Right.
Because it just would, you know, the slapstick was so iconic, and, you know, and the chase sequence here at the end, and, you know, and like we mentioned, all those one-liners, it would have just been, because, like you said, you know, we were laughing just watching this at home, but I would love to be in a crowd of people who, especially at that time when Abbott and Costello were the biggest stars in comedy and, you know, had such a massive following, that I would have loved to see, you know, fans, mainstream audiences, just, you know, have a great time and, you know, react to all the gags and, you know, and, but yeah, it's a really fun time. You know, I don't know that there are a ton of themes necessarily we can get into this movie.
Right,
it is not the it's not the deepest one. This is popcorn entertainment one, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I will say, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, like I mentioned, you know, other horror comedies here. Because we haven't talked, I don't think you and I have talked as much about horror and stuff before, but like, are, like, when it comes to Halloween season, and, you know, some people do not like, you know, horror movies, but they'll like, you know, some of the more like spooky kind of lighthearted ones or horror comedies. What's kind of your preference? Do you like this time of year? Do you like the horror movies, or do you, you know, what's kind of your brand of entertainment around this time?
So to be honest, I'm just now coming around to watching horror movies, because I grew up kind of not being allowed to watch them.
Yeah.
And so I just never did. But everyone would be talking about them. So a perfect example of how delayed I am is that last year, and we are going to watch it this year, we watched all the Scream films.
Nice.
And I really liked them. I thought they were great. I don't think I've watched any horror comedies that I can think of. The one that what's the one with Chris Hemsworth in the cabin? It turns out to be like this big
Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods. Okay, I remember that. It really stuck out to me, and I really liked that because it turned into something that I wasn't expecting. I'm excited to watch a lot of these classic films, like stuff like this, and the stuff from when I was a kid, and things that have inspired a lot of what I like.
Absolutely. And, well, similar to you, I also didn't really watch horror growing up because I wasn't necessarily strictly forbidden, but my parents weren't really horror fans, and I just wasn't exposed to it as much, and so I didn't get into it until college, and then I fell in love with the more, you know, terrifying horror movies, with the horror comedies, with, like, just the genre as a whole. I would say Shaun of the Dead, like, changed my life. That was just foundational movie me. That's very, you know, and so I love Shaun of the Dead, Evil Dead, but then I love, you know, the classics like Nightmare on Elm Street, and then and The Shining. That's another thing is, like, my dad's not a horror fan, but he loves The Shining. So he did introduce me to that. You know, I think around sometime in high school when I read the book and everything, got very into Stephen King, you know, all of that. So I became a big horror fan. Now to the point where I even write some of my own horror short stories, and I'm very into the genre. So I love a good horror comedy that is not scary at all, but is like, but it's hilarious, and it's kind of a, you know, spoof of the genre, but done really well. And this movie very much fits into that realm, because I mean, there are plenty of bad horror comedies, but the, you know, but this one, it is, you know, I think it really holds up in terms of its humor. And you don't, I think that what the cool thing about this one too is you don't even have to really have a reference point. If you haven't seen the Dracula and Frankenstein movies before,
true,
you can still jump in on this one and enjoy it as a standalone. Yeah. You don't even have to really be familiar with Abbott and Costello. You can watch this one independently and understand their brand of humor, their, you know, why they work so together in sync with each other, you know, the opposite of their personalities. All of that is very apparent here. So it's, I think a movie like this is very delightful for fans of both Abbott and Costello and the Monster Universe. But even if you're coming in totally fresh, you can have a good time with this one.
Right on, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And it's like, I was just comparing it to like when I took my in-laws to watch the first Avengers movie, and they had never seen the other MCU films, and they freaking loved it. So
yeah,
it's a power of a good story.
It really is. I mean, you can have stories exist in a big universe, and you know, it'd be great for the fans, but if it can stand on its own, that's the mark of a good, you know, when you really succeeded. And also just a few fun facts I got. Shout out to Wikipedia here. But in 2001, the United States Library of Congress deemed this film culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant and selected it for preservation in the National Film Registry. The film is number 56. I don't know if this is still current, but at least at the time, number 56 on the list of the American Film Institute's 100 funniest American movies. Granted, the AFI is always changing, but I believe it's still on there. And then also, this was the really fun fact, is that Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead acknowledged the movie as one that changed his life and was an inspiration for his art and music. Next time you're listening to Grateful Dead, you can think of this movie. But yeah.
Whoa.
I love it. That's why I do love about going down these rabbit holes and exploring all the behind the scenes stuff with, you know, any particular movie, learning stuff like that. It's great. But awesome. Well, Evan, anything else you want to say about this movie or just the experience here? Imagining if we were coming out of the drive-in theater.
I probably I'll have to turn on the car because I didn't leave it on, and now I got to put the AC on or something like that. But no, but this was great. This kind of does make me want to go to a real drive-in theater, though.
Right. It's been a while. Well, even in the Monster Squad, there's a scene where they're at a drive-in too. It's just I love the. I mean, it's just the aesthetic of a drive-in is just so, you know, delightful. And I go to my Alamo Draft House all the time. But yeah, I love a good drive-in when I get to go. It's just, it's such a unique atmosphere, and this is the perfect movie to show on the big screen there. Awesome. Well, if you have not seen Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, it is free on Tubi right now, or you can rent it on Prime, or you can go get the Blu-ray. I do highly recommend checking this one out. It is a ton of fun, and, you know, and it a perfect, you know, a movie for the Halloween spooky season. I'll be watching plenty this season. I look forward to sharing that on our What We're Geeking Out On sessions on the podcast. So, Evan, this has been a blast. I appreciate you joining me today.
Same. Glad to be on, man.
Absolutely. And also for our listeners, you can like, rate, and review, and subscribe. And we've got some new merch you can check out. We'll have links in the description. But check out the rest of the drive-in series. We would love for you to join us on those. So, and feel free to suggest ones for us to check out. We are always looking for recommendations and things to talk about on the show. So
yeah. Tag us on social media.
Yep.
Find us on Facebook group, Instagram. Yeah.
Do all the things. Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for listening and happy Halloween season. And we will see you next time.
Ooh.
We just wanted to take a moment to ask you all to consider sponsoring our show. You can do so by becoming a member in the website down in the show's description. It takes a lot to keep this show running as far as editing equipment, paying the site that platforms our show to all the different mediums where you listen to your podcast, going to events. There's a lot of costs behind this. And I was thinking of the most fun way to do this ad, and I was going to do like, you know, one of those songs where it's like, there's a log on the lake. And then by the end, it's like there's a speck in the eye of the flea on the log on the lake or something. Then I realized that would just take too long and I don't want to bore you guys. So I'm going to list some of the benefits you can get for being a member as a thank you to those who do take some of their funds to help sponsor our show. At the free tier, you get some perks, including like free episodes. Yeah, you don't even have to pay to get extra content that goes along with our annual theme or even in collaboration with the Rethinking Faith. We're going to be doing Rethinking Comics and you can get that on our website if you want to follow that series. As you move up to some of the paid tiers, you get access to exclusive merch only for our sponsors. You get access to the bonus questions we do each thing and all kinds of things that are like shout outs for all tiers. You can get a shout out on the episode. All of the tiers come with some incredible benefits. As you go through some of the different ones moving up, you know, you get different percent off of our merchandise. We just straight up give you money towards purchasing stuff. Some of the tiers just get $10 a month to buy stuff from us. We do free giveaways. Some of the tiers come with birthday presents, Christmas presents, free t-shirt for our members. There are lots of things that we do because we just want to show our appreciation for those who are able to take their funds and sponsor our show. But we also want to remind you, whether or not you can financially support the show, we appreciate everyone who takes their time to listen to this. Remember that verse that's like, perhaps you're here for a time such as this. Well, perhaps you're here for a time such as sponsoring our show, or perhaps you're not here to listen to ads, and I should wrap this up.
Hello there, listener. Thanks for listening. This is Evan Garcia. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We just wanted to come in and remind you that this episode is part of a bigger network of podcasts called the Anazal Podcast Network. We have great shows like the Whole Church Podcast, Kung Fu Pizza Party, and the Homily with Pastor Chill Will. Chill Will, the podcast has sermons from our host, Pastor Will. Great sermons every time. The Kung Fu Pizza Party is Brandon Knight showing his expertise and his passion for everything Kung Fu films. And he dispenses a bunch of wisdom. Great show. And the Whole Church Podcast, where Josh and TJ interview people from different denominations and church traditions to pursue greater church unity. It's a great podcast to see what other denominations are included. And we just want to say thank you so much for listening. See you next time.